Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. I am Ron Luce, coming to you live here on this Sunday, as well as Mother's Day. First off, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, especially those that listen to our show, and all the moms of those who do listen to our show. Hopefully it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day in the Chicagoland area, about 80 degrees sunshine. I got a little bit of color myself today, but we're back. We're here to talk Cubs baseball, and I'm super excited for this one. The show's going to have a little bit of everything in it. We're going to talk through each of the games, some of the highlight points of each of those games, things that have transpired over the weekend that we can address. There might be some people that get a little angry at Ron Luce at this end of the show, because I'm coming for some people. I've got things to discuss. I've got receipts that I need to address. But before we get into it, my dad jumping in the comments here. Hey, Dad. He says, here comes the boys. Crack them. Yeah, well, just the boy tonight. It's just me, Jeremiah, the cardiac Cubs at their finest. Indeed, it was a good series for them all over, despite the loss on Saturday. Again, we're going to talk about all things here. Coming to you live. This is exciting week two. We'll preface a little bit as well with this Braves series coming back up and some games being kind of on the normal schedule again, finally, for the first time. We will have a watch along for the first time in 2 weeks. Very excited about that one. That will probably be Tuesday is my guess this week. Could be Wednesday. And that might just transpire into a show afterwards as well. And then again, the Cubs are back in action, back at Wrigley starting on Thursday. I will be there on Thursday evening. Tyler Edmonds will be there on Thursday evening. A little more Bleacher content for everybody that follows along, and very excited to see that. My dad says, oh boy. And Stolet Breezen says, Cubs on Tap brought to you by Nervous Moment Naris. Yeah, we're going to talk about that one here in just a moment. But let's dive into these things here. So we have this game to talk about first. Friday's game. Cubs win 7-2. And quite frankly, Friday's game was everything you could have asked for out of the Chicago Cubs. Point blank. The offense provided, the pitching looked good. Even though Assad got into some trouble early, he worked around it, still pitched over four innings of work. Ben Brown comes out of the bullpen, looks electric, gets the win after pitching 3 2/3 innings. Then Albert Alzolay shuts it down, just the one hit given up. Yes, it was in garbage time, and you know, it wasn't a save situation, but nonetheless, he's going to be a guy that they need, and so good to see that out of him on Friday. Let's talk a little bit about this game on Friday, because I think what I learned from this game on Friday, Cody Bellinger's back. Period. Point blank, Cody Bellinger's back. And I am super-duper-duper excited about that, because he looks like the version of Cody Bellinger before he went on the IL. And I know a lot of people might look and you see the overall numbers for the full season and go, his numbers aren't that good. And it's because of that ice-cold start he had in the month of April. He started to turn it on in those last seven games before he hit the IL. Belly had 3 homers, 5 ribbies, and he was slugging somewhere in the 700s. He was really starting to heat up and become the version of Bellinger that we saw. Belly does it again in this one, especially on Friday. 4 hits from Cody Bellinger, including the solo homer. He also scored 2 runs in this one. He's increased that OPS with this latest hot streak. He's all the way up to 881. That currently leads the team, and at least based on who was in the lineup on Friday. Got to love seeing this out of Cody Bellinger. They missed him dearly. We talked about the offensive woes over the last couple of shows, and just the fact that they were unable to get anything going meaningfully on offense without their big guns in the middle of that lineup in Seiya Suzuki and Cody Bellinger. Bellinger's back. He's in the 3-hole. He looks at home, and he did it again on Friday with a 4-hit performance. Also, a couple of hits from 2 important guys that we're going to talk about more here in this series as well. Ian Happ had 2 hits on Friday. Christopher Morel had 2 hits on Friday. Both of those players also picking up RBIs in the process. Nick Madrigal, 2 RBI double. That helped break the game open. Michael Busch only had 1 hit, still scored 2 runs as well. Just an absolute hit parade. Every single Cubs batter had a hit that was in the starting lineup. Miles Mastroboni obviously came into the game late, but he did not even record an at-bat. So every person that got to the plate recorded a hit. The Pirates were shut down. Jared Jones goes 6 innings, but 7 hits, three runs. Only two of those were earned, two walks, four Ks, and he did get tattooed for the homer. And we're going to talk about the pitching here. And Stolett has teed this one up for me here. He says, Brown best suited for the pen with just his two pitches. We saw that on Friday when he has it working. Indeed. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to a Ben Brown. When I think about this and I look at Ben Brown from a forward-looking standpoint, it really is, unless he develops a third pitch, he's best suited as a multi-inning weapon out of the bullpen, period. I think that's exactly what Ben Brown is best for. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think you can use him in a ton of different situations. You can use him like they did on Friday when he has to go 3 2/3 and you don't want to burn a bunch of bullpen arms despite the off day. Or I was talking to my dad about this just the other night. Maybe he eventually works his way into those late inning roles here for this Cubs team, because again, we're gonna dive into this bullpen a little bit here toward the back end of the show. Maybe he's your setup guy. Maybe he's your closer. My dad says he could be the closer. He could be the closer. I have another guy in mind that I would love to see be the closer until a potential Julian Merriweather return occurs. But right now, Ben Brown looks special out of the bullpen. And again, that two pitch mix, just like Stolett said here, we're gonna bring it back up on the screen. Just like he said here, that two-pitch mix is so dangerous for a guy like Ben Brown. He's got that hard knuckle curve. He throws gas. And again, when he doesn't have to go a ton of innings, he's able to light that radar gun up a little more. It's more 96, 97, 98 more so than, 94, 95, 96. And that makes a big difference, especially with his devastating knuckle curve. Things you absolutely love to see. And the Cubs took care of business. Again, Ben Brown was electric. His final line from that game on Friday, 3 2/3 innings, just two hits, one walk. He punches out six along the way. Javier Assad was good too. 4 1/3. He did give up four hits, two runs, only one of which was earned. And he walked two while striking out four. So very similar line here for Assad in terms of walks and Ks to that of his counterpart, Jared Jones. I was talking about this with my dad. When Jordan Wicks returns to this rotation, we saw Kyle Hendricks return on Sunday. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Javier Assad might go to the bullpen. And it might just be out of pure necessity. And I don't necessarily agree with it because he's still been a great starter. This was probably one of his more rough starts recently. And it's just because he didn't get the distance that he normally does. But he still looked good. He worked out of that early trouble, able to settle in for the rest of his start. The pitch count got to him. That's ultimately why he was pulled. Ultimately, I believe he threw 89 pitches at the end of the day. That is correct. And then again, Ben Brown was super efficient. I mean, we want to talk about how good Ben Brown was. 38 pitches for Ben Brown, 29 of which were strikes. That's a hot number, and that's a great ratio if you're a guy like Ben Brown. So, again, a lot of good things to like about Friday's Cubs win. It was a low-stress game, even though it was tied for, five innings? Or not even five innings. The Pirates had the lead for the first five, so the Cubs were able to add and tie it, and then, the sixth and the seventh inning is when they broke it open. But things you love to see, Cubs get a big win in the first game. Now let's talk about Saturday's game, because this one was rough. This one wasn't fun. It was fun and it wasn't fun. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense to everybody at home. This was a crazy game. Obviously, Paul Skeens makes his major league debut, the long-awaited debut of the number one prospect in baseball, the number one prospect in the Pirates system. And he delivered. He delivered pretty much exactly how the Cubs the Pirates would expect him to against the Cubs. He only goes four innings in his debut, not terribly surprising. They don't want to overwork him early on, and they were able to get his pitch count up ever so slightly. He threw 84 pitches in just four innings. So even though he was mowing the Cubs down, he ultimately was able, they ultimately were able to get him out of the game because of that pitch count. He gave up six hits. He was tagged for three earned because of the rally that the Cubs had. he only walked two, and he punched out seven. Nico Horner. That's the trivia question, folks. If Mr. Skeens ever makes the Hall of Fame and you're at a sports trivia night down the road and they say, Paul Skeens, the Hall of Famer. Who hit the first home run off of Paul Skeens in his major league debut? The answer. It's Nico Horner. But I'll tell you what. Skeens was impressive. We got to talk a little bit about Skeens because this was fun. This was entertaining to see firsthand. 102 on the gun with the fastball. The Funker, which is his little like splitting sinker that he throws for 95 and for strikes. Gross. And then he's got a nice slider to complement it. He hovers between 84 and 87. He was getting guys to chase. And he mixed in a changeup every once in a while. He didn't throw it a ton, but when he did throw it, it hovered around 89, 90, which is stupid, the fact to think that 90 miles per hour is a changeup for this guy. But when you throw 102, it is the case. Pardon me, everybody. The old allergies have gotten to us as spring is in full force. Speaking of full force, the Cubs rally was in full force because this one got ugly early. The Pirates poured it on. Cody Bellinger, once again, home run to lead this thing off. Cody had a hell of a series. He gets the Cubbies on the board first. Oh, pardon me. I was looking at the wrong game. That is not entirely true at all. But the Pirates did damage. I mean, no score through the first two and a half innings effectively here, but in the bottom of the third, Connor Joe's three-run shot is the first one off of Justin Steele. O'Neill Cruz gets him on the next batter for a solo shot. That quickly made it 4-0. And this was the first bad start we've seen Justin Steele have in a long time. And I can't remember who brought it up. Somebody brought it up on X, and I need to start just making better mental notes of these things to give credit. But they said, they're like, if there's any team that's going to beat up Steele, it seems to be the Pirates, because the Pirates got to him last year at the end of the year, too, for the, I believe it was the tune of six earned runs. So it just seems like this Pirates team has Steele's number. They know how to get to him. And that's ultimately what happened here. Horner got the one run back, but a two-run shot from Michael A. Taylor ultimately made this one 6-1 until the fifth inning. Paul Skenes comes out of the game after issuing two walks. Then Mastroboni walks to load the bases. Then Yan Gom walks in, or they load him. Nico Horner walks. That's two. Bush walks. That's three. Mastroboni walks. That's four. Gomes walks. That's five. And then Mike Talkman's infield single as the heavens opened up to tie the game. That was electric. And it just shows the resiliency of this Cubs team. Like Scott says here, still can't believe Pittsburgh walked in six runs. And the Cubs still lost. And let's keep moving down the line here and talk about it. It was rough because you come back out as soon as the rain delay ends. The Cubs add more runs. Say as Suzuki walks, Bellinger walks. So as Scott noted, it was actually six runs because of the infield single from Talkman. Six runs they walked in. And good on the Cubs, though. I mean, they weren't swinging at stupid pitches. They took what the Pirates were giving them. That's just good plate discipline at the end of the day, and you love to see it. But then all hell broke loose, because then in the bottom of the fifth, once action finally resumed, Yasmani Grandal goes deep with two men on. That gave the Pirates the lead. Another home run came via Andrew McCutchen. Keegan Thompson gave up the three-run shot. The solo shot given up by Dick Lovelady, which we're going to fire Dick Lovelady to the sun if it was up to me. And it got close. Talkman with the sacrifice fly made it 10-9. PCA got to third base, but Bellinger couldn't bring him in. So ultimately the Cubs lose by one on Saturday. And like Stella Breathen says here, 10 walks, 10 hits, and the Cubs pen still blows it. And it's getting bad. It is getting comically bad. My dad and I were sitting there on, the other night talking about it. Like he says here, then the bullpen blew it. We were talking about it. It's like if we're probably up to six or seven, maybe even eight games that this bullpen has potentially blown this season. And it's bad. And I agree with Stola here. Never thought I'd want Smiley back, but here we are. Absolutely. If it means Richard Lovelady's not on the roster anymore, absolutely. I like Drew Smiley as the left-handed option for an inning or two way more than I like Richard Lovelady right now. And we're going to talk about Lovelady again here on Sunday, because I would argue if it's not for Richard Lovelady, the Cubs end this game in nine innings on Sunday instead of in 10 and elevate everybody's blood pressure. It has been brutal with this bullpen. But nonetheless, Cubs lose on Saturday. It's all about rebounding, and they did exactly that on Sunday, because in 10, Cubs win 5-4 but we got to walk through it. Christopher Morel, thank you, big dog. Gets me another dinger point over the course of this weekend. That gets me out of the basement. I am once again tied now, this time with Nick and Tyler. We're all tied at 3 apiece. We're coming for Joey. Joey's the next one. He's up at 7. Juice, we still got a long way to go to catch Juice. He's all the way up at 11. But a two-run shot opens things up early, top of the first, and there was not another run until the bottom of the fourth. O'Neill Cruz, another homer. He was a menace in this series to the Cubs. I fully expect him to be a menace all season long. I will say this was good for Ron Luce's fantasy team, though, because we do have O'Neill Cruz, but I digress. Nonetheless, he gets into one, and that made it a 2-1 game at the time. That was the only run that Hendricks would get tagged for. He was activated prior to this game to make the start. Let's talk about Kyle here a little bit. He only goes 5 innings. Obviously, you know, he had some command issues kind of throughout the start, got up to 94 pitches before he was pulled. And at the end of the day, though, he gave you a good 5. He only gave up a couple of hits. Also, at the end of the day, 2 hits given up by Kyle Hendricks. The 1 earned run on the home run. 4 walks, which aren't great, but he worked around it, and he struck out 5 in this one. And I think once he gets a little more settled in, those walk numbers are going to come back down. Maybe he's only walking 1 or 2 guys per start. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Hendricks looks like a viable option again to start giving you 5 and 6 innings as a starting pitcher again. And that's exactly what this Cubs team needs right now, because unfortunately, the guys that are right now in that starting rotation that are kind of, you know, filling in for some of these hurt guys are the guys that are probably going to move to the bullpen and hopefully improve this bullpen in some capacity then moving forward. But then Dick Lovelady comes in. He only gets through a third of an inning, gives up 2 hits. He's tagged for the earned run because Brewer comes in and gives up the sacrifice fly. You know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, a blown save for Brewer. I don't pin it on him because it was first and third when he came into the game. He only walked 1. K2 did get through a full inning of work, though, before Mark Leiter Jr. came through with a 1 2/3 innings of shutout ball. He looked phenomenal. And there was a little bit of a credit up here earlier. Why did Council have Leiter out for a week prior to today's outing, resting for big series versus Braves, hurt in doghouse? I think it was just rest. I truly do. I think they realize that Leiter is going to be a guy they need, especially in some of these big series. And if they don't have to use him, they probably don't want to. I would argue they probably didn't want to use him today. I bet you they were hoping to get 2 innings out of Brewer. And eventually he was just like, you know what? We need to get to the end of this game. And they gave it to Leiter, and he did exactly that. Mark Leiter Jr. right now, probably the most reliable Cub bullpen arm by a mile, by a country mile too. But you love to see what he did today with that 1 2/3. 2 Ks, again, of perfect work from him. Then Hector Neris comes in the game and makes things interesting. As I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, stole it, said it. Cubs on Tap brought to you by Nervous Moment Neris. And exactly that. He had to make things interesting. Gets it all the way to bases loaded. And somehow, some way, the Cubs escape the jam. I truly can't believe they got out of that, if we're being brutally honest here. But they did, and thankfully they lived to see another day, because then in the top of the 10th, Belly single drives in the ghost runner, Seiya Suzuki. And then, of course, Belly gets picked off. If he hadn't gotten picked off, it would have been a 2-run shot, because then Patrick Wisdom goes yard for his 2nd of the season. That made it 4-2, and then a pass ball that got by Yasmani Grandal scored Mike Talkman with the bases juiced. That made it 5-2. Cubs couldn't add anything more, but thank goodness they got that third run in the 10th, because if they didn't, we would have had to go 11, because then in comes Adbert Alzolay, and unfortunately for Adbert, he gives up 2 runs, only one of which was earned because of the ghost runner not counting against the ERA. But Connor Joe goes yard for a 2nd time in this series. That's his 5th of the season. Scored O'Neill Cruz as well. It made it 5-4, but Good on Adbert to shut it down the rest of the way. He did walk 1, but he's able to work around the traffic on the base paths, and that would be the end of it. And the Cubs get out of there. Adbert picks up his 4th save of the season. Neris gets the win. He is now 3-0 on the season with a record. Again, some late heroics from the Cubs playing into that a little bit. And Scott says here, no Patrick Wisdom slander. Not today. He had a hell of a game. Let's talk about that here really quick, because I know Juice isn't the biggest Patrick Wisdom fan. I know a lot of people wonder why Patrick Wisdom's on this roster, especially because he really only plays when they're going against left-handed pitching. But he looked damn good today. Four ABs. He had the run scored on the homer, but he had three total hits in this game, and he walked. An incredible day from Patrick Wisdom, albeit in very minimal work, a 321 batting average, 1120 OPS. He's doing what they need him to do off the bench. And for, what, $2.7 million? That's exactly why he's there. I know there's a lot of people that would rather see Garrett Cooper because he's probably a better defensive first baseman. But nonetheless, Wisdom is coming through. Scott's pining for Wisdom to play every day. And there's the full slash line, as he says in his comment there, 321, 441, 679 from Mr. Wisdom. At the end of the day, this was a fun Cubs series. They did a lot of good things. And I got a couple of these final thoughts here, more analytical, a little more diving in for everybody. But I'll tell you what, this was a big win. You need to pick up series win after series win here in the NL Central. They don't have to be pretty. They're probably going to test all of our patients and our blood pressure. But two out of three is exactly the recipe the Cubs needed for this weekend. They got the job done, and they ultimately take another series over their NL Central rival. That currently has them in the standings at 24-17. Of course, the Brewers lost one, so that actually helps the Cubs. Cubs are only a half game back of the Brew Crew for the NL Central lead. So let's get into some of these other topics here, and we're going to skip around a little bit because I like this first one here because it comes from a comment as well. Stoltz says the best thing about the Pittsburgh series is the bats woke up, runs and hits in bunches. Exactly. The bats are back. The bats are back. It certainly felt that way. You know, 7 runs in game number 1, 8 runs in game number 2, and still they managed to push through and get to 5 runs today with a quick turnaround thanks to the rain delay on Saturday. Exactly what the Cubs needed. They need the bats to get going. And truthfully, you know what? I think the most crazy thing about this series is that Seiya Suzuki did not have a good series. He looked a little overwhelmed. I think he's definitely getting used to starting, you know, major league pitching again. Of course, his first day back in the lineup is against Paul Skeens throwing 102. And they knew the scouting report because they threw him a lot of breaking stuff and got him painting the corners. It's really, really good, though, to see the bats come to life the way they have. The plate discipline has been there, and they're getting offense from a ton of different guys, and I think that's the most important piece. Nico Horner has raised his average to 275. Suzuki still hitting 290 despite a very cold weekend. Bellinger dipped a little bit after today, but he's still hovering around 255. With that 839 OPS. Morel with the 2 hits today. Good to see him healthy, especially after the scares over the weekend with him. He might be finally turning a corner. Talkman continues to be fantastic. Again, you got a lot out of a guy like Patrick Wisdom. Ian Happ in this series did some things. PCA was productive in this series to a fault. They got some meaningful production out of guys that they haven't gotten a ton out of up to this point. And I think that's been hugely important so far. So are the bats back? They might be back. But it's things you'll love to see here. My dad says, imagine if the bullpen doesn't blow the games and they add 6 more wins. Yeah, I would argue it might even be 7 or 8 more wins. I think that's the crazy thing about this Cubs team right now is they're hovering with a very beat-up team. And the bullpen is just – it's not getting the job done. And, you know, you don't always love to see it. Mike Skeens was Paul's daddy. indeed he was. And stole it. One more comment here from him. He says, Cubs have been in every game, sign of a good team. Absolutely. Even when they're going to lose, as long as they're not getting the doors blown off of them every single night, they're in these games, they give themselves a chance to win. Really, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. And that's the sign of a team that's ready to go win games. And so far, they've done that. They've had a lot of adversity so far this year. Dansby's already on the IL right now. You haven't had Merriweather, who's arguably your best relief pitcher out of the bullpen for most of the season here. You were missing Bellinger for a few weeks. You missed Seiya for almost a month. And yet they still found a way to get wins. I mean, this lineup at certain days looked putrid when all these guys were hurt, and yet they still managed to win games. The starting pitching has been phenomenal. Sure, Steele got beat up a little bit, but Hendricks looked good today. Assad looked good on Friday, coupled with Ben Brown. they're getting the job done, and it's never always going to be pretty. I know us as fans want those 7-2 games every single night. As Juice calls them here, those low-stress victories are fantastic for the blood pressure. But it's just not the realization, right? But sign of a good team, as Stolit says here in the comments, because they're in every game, and they're winning ugly games. They're finding ways to scrap through and get runs. Let's talk about, again, that Saturday game. To take your walks the way they did and then come back out of the rain delay and still take more walks with the bases loaded to drive in runs, that is the sign of a good team. It's a sign of a patient team, and it's a team that knows, hey, we're not going to have our best stuff every day. But if we can grind and we can battle, we're going to be in every ball game, and we're going to have a chance to do some big things here for the rest of the season. And I'll tell you what, I'm so far pretty pleased with what the bats did in this series. And they're going to need them in the next series, too. And we're going to talk about that here to round out the show. One more thing for everybody. And this was something that actually got me a little upset today. I was shuffling through X throughout the day, you know, when I had a few minutes to finally sit down between Mother's Day activities. And a lot of people were calling for Craig Counsell's head, and they were tired of Craig Counsell already. And it's not a ton of Cubs fans, but it's enough to be loud. And I don't get that. I don't get that. What? So freaking ever. So we're going to talk about that right here. Counsell's bullpen decisions. People, oh, well, why is Adbert Elsley in the game today? Who else is he going to put in the game? That's the thing here. I think everybody that's getting upset at Craig saying, well, he's not, you know, making the right choices and he's not doing this properly. And it's like, if I give you a pile of shit, how much can you do with it? Right now, Mark Leiter Jr. is the only guarantee, in my opinion, in this bullpen. That's it. It's Mark Leiter Jr. That's it. We know Adbert's going through what he's going through right now and dealing with what he's dealing with. Neris decides to make us need a drink every time he's on base. Nervous moment. Neris. I love that. Stole it, by the way. That's fantastic. That's going to get a pinned comment here really quick. Going to get a pinned comment. That's a good one. But then look at the rest of this list. Brewer's been pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like Colton Brewer. I kind of want them to throw him a little more because he's been pretty decent so far. Outside of those guys, though, Love Lady. Ugh. Keegan has been wicked, wicked inconsistent recently, right? Yes, he came up and he looked great in his return to the show. But he has regressed to last season Keegan that had him up and down from Iowa all season. Gives up 3 big runs in that game against Pittsburgh on Saturday. They are very limited right now when it comes to the bullpen. Drew Smyly's hurt, so Lovelady's on the roster because he's a lefty until Mr. Smyly's back, at the very least. You can't option Adbert. He has no more options. You're not going to get Senneris, you know, out of the high leverage situations. You're paying him enough money where he should be pitching in those moments. Craig's done really well with this bullpen, given what he's been given. And yeah, I agree. I think if they had more, they would be even in better shape. They'd probably be running away with the NL Central right now, but that's just not the case. So if there's anybody people are going to be mad about, be more mad at Jed Hoyer for not making more moves in the bullpen. But again, and even in fairness, these are also the same people that coming into the season were like, we got Adbert as our closer. Maris is going to look great in the setup role. You got Mark Leiter Jr. and Merriweather in the seventh. We're great. We're fine. Hindsight's 20/20, people. And when you think this bullpen is all figured out coming into the season, it's not. MLB bullpen pitching is very similar to NHL goaltending. Recently, for those that like hockey, it's volatile. It's extremely volatile. That's why the top relief pitchers get paid so much, because year in and year out, they do it consistently. Most bullpen arms are not consistent. And now, one of the other best guys that you arguably had in the back end of this bullpen also goes on the IL this weekend against Yensi Almonte. What do you want Craig to do? He didn't have Yensi today. He doesn't have Merriweather. He already threw Lovelady and Brewer. Like, for the people that are asking, why is Elsley in the 10th? Who the fuck else is he going to throw? I'll get off my soapbox, but that's stupid. If you're calling for Craig Council's head, get your head out of your ass. Because that's just ignorance. It's ridiculous. Because let's be honest. If this was a David Ross-led Cubs team, would it be the same way? You could make the same argument, though, that he doesn't have the same bullpen arms. But would he be making the same decisions that work out? Cubs are still winning ballgames. Now, with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about potential acquisitions here. We'll tease some of it at the end of the show here. Scott from Iowa says the White Sox need to trade the Cubs Kopech for Madrigal and a player to be named later. I don't think Madrigal's going anywhere, but Kopech, certainly a name that could be on the radar. Bobby Foster wrote a great article over at ontapsportsnet.com about Michael Kopech being a potential fit for what the Cubs need. He's a guy that can go multiple innings out of the pen. He's a weapon out of the pen right now, and he's been phenomenal to start the season for the White Sox. And they're in a position where they are probably going to trade every player that has any kind of meaningful value to them this season. That's not under contract for more than 2 or 3 years. Give Rickon a call. See what the price is on a guy like Kopech. We've already heard from Jed and about him talking to the Miami Marlins after they dealt Luis Urias and effectively signaled to the rest of baseball that, hey, we're selling because we're shit and we don't know what we're doing, very clearly, since they let Kim Ng leave, which was dumb, but that's neither here nor there. Give them a call. I wrote up a piece in tandem with Bobby. Bobby wrote up a great piece about Tanner Scott, left-handed pitcher, closer for the Marlins. Looks really good. Could be a nice addition to this Cubs bullpen this season. I took it a step further and did some other research on some of the other arms. That way, A, Scott's price is too high and the Cubs don't want to pay it. There's other guys they can look at. Or B, maybe you go get a second pitcher in a trade with getting a Tanner Scott and give the Marlins an extra piece of a high A prospect that, you know, maybe nobody knows about a ton, and say, hey, we'll give you this because we need the bullpen help. Four guys I spotlighted. I encourage you to go read the article, not even just from a view standpoint. I put a lot of research into it, and it was fun. It was a fun research project to do. Andrew Nardi, left-handed pitcher, is part of that list. Calvin Fowker, former Tampa Bay Ray turned Miami Marlin. Looks like he's kind of getting his stuff together in Miami this year. Another former White Sox. We're talking about Michael Kopech, and Scott chimes in saying he is a UFA next year. Yeah, they're trading everybody that's close to being gone. If I wouldn't be surprised if they trade Eloy. I mean, it's going to be that kind of year for the White Sox. They're unloading guys. But Declan Cronin goes to Miami after a rough season last year with the White Sox. He's looked really good early on. And I mean, if you like the I'll call it the nerdy side of baseball, do go read it. We dive into Baseball Savant. We dive into pitch usage. We dive into effectiveness with these pitches for each of these bullpen arms. Again, just more guys that the Cubs can look at and target and say, hey, maybe these guys are options that we can add to this bullpen that give you that additional insurance instead of a Keegan Thompson right now or a Richard Lovelady or somebody of that nature. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. And then you can pitch Adbert in less high leverage situations until he kind of does get right. And then you can ease him back into some of those. I think that's where they're going to need to go at some point here. My dad and I talked about it on the side over the weekend. And I know there's been a lot of them here in the comments throughout the show. This is from a little earlier from my dad. Jed needs to address the bullpen. The bullpen is the one glaring weakness for this Cubs team right now. The offense is getting it done. And not just the big guns, right? Like, the depth has come through, as we talked about. It's the reason that they're in the position they're in. On top of that, the starting pitching has been really freaking good. I would love to see them go out and get some pitching sooner rather than later. Matt Cozy, Mr. Lockdown Cubs, how are you, sir? Says maybe this is the year the Cubs finally get Matt Moore. Oh, my goodness, it would be amazing. It feels like it's 7 years overdue at this point to get Matt Moore. But again, another left-handed option that would look a hell of a lot better right now than Richard Lovelady would. These are the kind of guys. These are the kind of guys that you want to see the Cubs bring in. I think calls for guys like Matt Moore are certainly on the table. I think, again, every one of those Miami guys is on the table. And again, like Scott brought up, I think Michael Kopech truly is on the table as a name that the Cubs will listen on and potentially get into here. All right. Well, before we get out of here, and this was a great series, and we could go on for probably another hour talking about this series. But again, They get out of the Pittsburgh series with a series win. Now they've got the Atlanta Braves on the docket here. It's a three-game set down in Atlanta. Every single one of these games starts at 6:20 local time, so Central Daylight Time, from the beautiful city of Atlanta, that beautiful ballpark. I've been to Truist a couple times myself. I've actually seen the Cubs play there once. Gorgeous ballpark. If you haven't been and you're one of those people that like to go to different ballparks, I highly encourage you to get down to Atlanta. But it's a big series coming up. Atlanta's got a lot to play for right now. They're not running away with it like everybody expected. The Phillies right now, a game and a half up on the Braves in the standings of the NL East. The Washington Nationals, a little bit of a surprise team. They're a half a game above the Mets for third place right now in that NL East. It's a very interesting NL East this year. But they've had their struggles. Matt Olson hasn't been what he was last year. Teams are starting to adapt, and they've had a lot of injuries to their starting rotation. No Spencer Strider. Max Fried has continued to be banged up. They're itching deep into their depth as well for starting pitching. And again, the home field advantage certainly plays into this, especially this being the second road series for the Cubs in a row now. It'd be great to take two out of three. Certainly don't get swept. I think not having a getaway day game where it's a quick turnaround helps the Cubs. Because it's an easy flight back from Atlanta. It's an hour flight, hour and 15 minutes, maybe hour and a half at worst. And then they don't play till Thursday night. So there's rest involved. This is a gettable series for the Cubs. I really do believe that. And it all starts on Monday, and they need to take advantage of it. But the Cubs do get three of the better Atlanta pitchers in this series, of course. Monday's probable matchup as of now, it will be the throwing philosopher, Mr. Shohei Imanaga, on the bump for the Cubbies. He will go against former Chicago White Sox pitcher Ronaldo Lopez, who has had the start of the century to this season. He's got a 1.53 ERA right now as a starter for the Braves. He's been fantastic, especially with the loss of guys like Spencer Strider so far. It looks like we're going to see Jameson Taillon. There was rumors that he was going to start on Sunday's game. Instead, they activate Hendricks to ultimately get the start. But Taillon looks like he'll be able to start Tuesday's game. He's off to a great start. I've highlighted Taillon a lot. I've liked his body of work. I just hope he can stay healthy. But he's going against Chris Sale, who looks equally as good for the Atlanta Braves. He's 5-1 with a 2.95 ERA so far this season. So that's another tough test on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, right now, Cubs are TBD. This could be a Javier Assad start. Maybe it's a Hayden Wesneski start. Who knows? I don't think the Wesneski start makes sense. But it's probably a Javier Assad start. They just haven't announced it yet. Still TBD, which could be awesome because that could set up a Steele versus Skeens reunion of sorts in that first game on Thursday against the Pirates. And I'm stoked because I'll be at that game. I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, Tyler Edmonds has confirmed he'll be at that game. He's coming into town for that one as well. So two of us will be in the bleachers on Thursday night. I'm going to do my rain dance to ensure the rain stays away till after the game is over this time. But that could be a hell of a pitching matchup as well. So I would expect Javier Assad to get the start on Wednesday. Again, it is TBD as listed by MLB.com for the time being. But we do know it will probably be Shota and Jameson Taillon in the first two games. Before I get out of here, and first off, what do the Cubs need to do in this Atlanta series? It's going to be beat up those starters. Plain and simple. Get them out of the game as soon as possible. Get to Ronaldo Lopez. Get to Chris Sale, work up their pitch counts just like you did to Paul Skeens. And if you can't hit them, get into their bullpen and hit their bullpen because the Cubs have been able to do that all year long. That's going to be the key to success in this series because, again, then on Wednesday, it's Charlie Morton for the Braves. You got another big gun in this Atlanta rotation on the docket here. They're going to have to get to the starters at least a little bit, but as long as you make them work up those pitch counts, get them to throw those 20 to 25 pitch innings, get them out of the game by the fourth or the fifth. And then you can get to those bullpens. And then the more you get to those bullpens, games two and three should then become easier because you have tired arms on the mound for the Braves. So we will have to wait and see. My dad says it was a great read. Thank you, Dad, of course. But again, I highly encourage you to go check that out. All of our great Cubs work over at OnTapSportsNet.com. It's been a good writing season so far. Bobby Foster has been killing it. Again, we always got to show him love because he's been phenomenal as well. But Big three coming up again. You'll hear from Cubs on Tap over the course of this week. Probably going to have a live watch along on Tuesday. Wednesday night, we'll probably have a post-game show that will recap the full series as a whole and anything that we didn't discuss during the live stream on Tuesday. And then again, we start a four-game set. We being the Cubs, of course. I try not to use we. That always drives me nuts. The Cubs will start a four-game set with the Pirates over the course of next weekend. That one starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Take three out of four on that one, too. But again, we'll talk deeper into that one after this Braves series. Three with Atlanta coming up here. Cubs will see Atlanta then the following week at Wrigley as well. A couple of us will be out in the bleachers again for one of those games. And it's probably one of the better teams again. It's a tough month of May for the Cubs. A lot of NL Central opponents and the Atlanta Braves. So got to take advantage of it. Try to beat up their starters and ultimately get to those bullpens and get some runs late to secure victories. Before I get out of here, as always, I want to remind everybody that Cubs on Tap, one of two Chicago Cubs podcasts here at the On Tap Sports Network. Check out our friends over at the Dingers podcast. They will be live tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time or just around that time. Be sure to tune in with them right here on the On Tap Sportsnet YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, hit the bell button. That way you know when they go live and all of our other great shows go live here at the On Tap Sports Network. Check out them over at Dinger Cubs on the socials. We are at Cubbies on Tap on the socials. Be sure to check us out there. I am at Loose on Tap, but follow the whole gang as well. Teddy Freddy 70, Juice on Tap, Nick underscore on Tap, Joey Knows Nothing. And again, give love to our boy Bobby Foster. He is at Silent Bob underscore 2 on the socials. Guys, you know the drill. Check out all of our other sports coverage as well. Bulls, Blackhawks. Bulls got the 11th pick in the lottery today. So they're picking in the top 15. Bulls on Tap guys will be all over. A big offseason coming up for the Chicago Bulls. I'm on the same side for the Chicago Blackhawks, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming out from the Blackhawks side of the house as well. Connor Bedard's been great at the Worlds. That's been covered over at ontapsportsnet.com. A lot of hypotheticals over the season. GM Ron is in full effect right now here in the offseason, so be sure to check all that out. And again, Bears on Tap. It's quiet right now. Rookie minicamp just occurred over the weekend, but everything's going to start to wind up over the summer as we inch closer to the fall. And Cubs fans, as always, they're playing better baseball lately. So send your White Sox friends to our White Sox friends, and they can all be friends over at Sox on Tap. Again, ontapsportsnet.com, at ontapsportsnet on the socials, the On Tap Sports Network. Go and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. First off, I want to thank everybody in the comments. You guys have been absolutely phenomenal as always. You make these shows by myself so much easier, and they're fun. I like these. I get to air out and just vent and talk. And get opinions of other people here when my other co-hosts are either not able to show. Again, it was Mother's Day. It was a tough scheduling day for us. No big deal. We're still live with you here at the end of the evening. As my dad says here, he says, use your trade capital. Yes, that's a good suggestion for all the teams in Chicago. If you can to improve, use your trade capital if you have it and go out and get some additions, whether it be the Cubs or one of the other teams in Chicago. Again, all of that covered at ontapsportsnet.com. I appreciate every single one of you once again for joining in the conversation. Again, we will be back, more live content coming this week. Again, Tuesday night will probably be our live watch along for the Braves game. Wednesday will be a post game show. And then Thursday night, Tyler and I out in the bleachers against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Be sure to follow along at Cubbies on Tap on the socials for all the fun stuff that happens at Wrigley Field. I am Ron Luce. Thank you guys again. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, whether you're listening directly or your moms of those that are listening currently, please wish them a happy Mother's Day. I hope everybody had a great and safe holiday. And again, more Cubs baseball is on the horizon, and we will be back with you guys this week. As always, I am Ron Luce. Appreciate you again. We're going to get out of here the only way we know, at Cubs on Tap. Fuck the Brewers. Fuck the Cardinals. And let's go, Cubbies.